The only thing that went through the mind of the bowl of petunias as it fell was, oh no, not again. Many people have speculated that if we knew exactly why the bowl of petunias had thought that, we should know a lot more about the universe than we do now. Meanwhile, Trillian is about to announce a discovery of astounding importance, though this is not immediately recognized by her companions.
Reports brought to you here on the sub-ether wave band, broadcasting around the galaxy, around the clock. And we'll be saying a big hello to all intelligent life forms everywhere and to everyone else out there. The secret is to bang the rocks together, guys.
It's back. the fully regenerated, rehydrated, reconstituted version of Oh No, Not Again, the post-punk show with a special Sheffield show. This is inspired by a book that I was looking for a very long time. It's limited in the U.S. in availability, if not impossible to find. It's called Beats Working for a Living, Sheffield Popular Music, 1973 to 1984, which falls directly into the purview of our post-punk topic. You may notice a little difference in my microphone. I'm going to be using this one just for convenience for this episode, so pardon the ring if you hear a little bit of reverb in my microphone. So, once again, I'm going to be moving, and sorry it's been almost a year since the last episode, but I have at least 6 shows planned, and they will be coming in a faster order. I am going to try to get this one up as soon as possible. There may be a slight gap, and then I will proceed with a Manchester show, and then the highly anticipated spoken word show, followed by many other wonderful episodes. There will be a French show, a Swedish show, and then there will be other focuses on cities. So there's a lot to look forward to. If you like post-punk, be prepared. The first song that we heard was by Artery. They're one of the very important bands from Sheffield that really have not had much visibility in the United States. I heard them first on a compilation, I believe it was The Angels Are Coming, one of those pleasantly surprised cassettes that came out in the very early 80s. I think it was 1981 or 1982 that The Angels Are Coming came out. It was a four-sided two-cassette release. There were a lot of good cassette releases back then, and I've mentioned it before on my show. And this will also include some songs in this episode from the Fast Product cassette, which I first found on vinyl and later found on cassette. This is one of the songs from that Fast Product compilation. It was bands from Sheffield, Leeds, and also from Edinburgh. There will be an Edinburgh show. I've already done a two-part Scottish show, so I thought that Sheffield might be the better place to start. So, without further ado, a very important band on the Sheffield scene. This is 2.3, with one of only, I believe, 2 or 3 songs they ever recorded. One single, and this is a song called All Time Low.
Same record. Do I really like it this way? It's strange. I hear the phone. I guess it's got nothing to say. feel I'm slipping slowly. It's getting stronger and it won't go. Falling back in each long day. I'm in an all-time low. I'm in an all-time low. I'm in an all-time low. It's getting stronger and it won't go. Falling back with each long day. I'm at an all-time low. I'm at an all-time low. I'm at an all-time low. I'm at an all-time low.
Low. 2.3 there with all-time low. That's been one of my favorite songs since I first heard it in 1981. That is from the Fast Product collection that came out, I believe, in 1978. It included bands from Edinburgh, which would have been The Flowers, and 2.3 from Sheffield, and from Leeds, Gang of Four, and also from Sheffield, very early tracks from the Human League. Probably from their very first singles, Being Boiled and Circus of Death. And I will be playing some Human League on this show, but I'm also going to be playing some tracks from The Future, which was the band that became the beloved Human League. But first, the band that really brought industrial music to the general public. I would say that industrial music really had a huge start in Sheffield due to the industrial nature of that city. Just like there was a lot of depression from industry in Manchester, which we'll get to in our next show, the band Cabaret Voltaire was hugely influential and, in fact, encouraged me to start playing keyboards and doing sampling. They were devotees of literature and sound for film, and really were sound designers as much as musicians. In fact, Chris Watson pretty much denies being anything of a musician and prefers to be called a sound designer. So here is my, for lack of a better word, bright inspiration to become a musician. The song is Nag, 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 and believe me, you will hear a lot of distortion in the Sheffield bands, and that is for a lot of reasons, due to primitive equipment, but also due to the fact that noise permeated the Sheffield environment, and they reflected that in their songs. So be prepared, turn it up loud. This is Cabaret Voltaire. Nag, Nag, Nag! We'll be right back. serious sonic terrorism from Cabaret Voltaire. And you can hear in the background of that song the clanging of metal. And from all my reading and from the documentary video made in Sheffield, they stress that at nighttime they would hear the drop forges of the metal factories in Sheffield. And that would influence many of the bands to incorporate loud clanging percussion and pounding on steel. And for some of you who are interested in Einstürzende Neubauten, you're saying, well, they just ripped off Neubauten. Well, I hate to break it to you, but Cabaret Voltaire started in like 1973 or some ungodly time like that, 1975. Many of these bands started off way before punk, and they just incorporated ideas that would later become part of punk, and they rose to prominence due to the opening of the field that punk provided to unusual and frightening bands like Cabaret Voltaire. So let's move on to the wonderful Human League. This is from a compilation that was put together recently called The Golden Age of the Future. No, The Golden Hour of the Future. And it has the early demos that were put together when the band was still looking for a singer and found Phil Oakey and was still a very raw multimedia project incorporating slides and films, and they actually used backing tapes openly and were not afraid of showing technology in use. And this is in the early days. This is 1978, so you can imagine the response when just a few people were on stage with keyboards and films were shown. And the singer would walk off stage and talk to the sound man and go, hey, how does it sound out there? Phil, you're supposed to be back on stage. Why are you out here? Those were different days, and I'd like to see more of a return to that kind of seriously experimental multimedia approach. That's what I try to do in my music anyway. So let's take a listen to a brilliant slice of history from the early days of electronic music, which we'll talk about more in relation to Sheffield, British electronic music, and really a lot of world electronic music owes a debt to Sheffield, and especially to Heaven 17 and the Human League. But here they are, just becoming a different band from the future and incorporating the name the Human League. This is called Dance Like a Star.
Hi, I'm Jason Tavner, and I'm here to introduce this third demonstration tape by a great group of guys, the Human League. I first met the Human League when they appeared on my network TV show last year. Then, and a couple of times since that they've played a song for us, I was impressed that here was a bunch of lads who were doing something new and melodic in music, when the majority of bands were just trying to shock people.
Song for all you big heads out there who think disco music is lower than the irrelevant musical gibberish and tired platitudes that you try to impress your parents with. We're the Human League, we're much cleverer than you, and this is called Dance Like a Star.
Dance.
You look so good now, and I'm your man. Come to the dance floor, baby, you're in my plan. Dance, 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 dance. Dance, 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 dance. Dance like a star, baby. Take my hand. Come to the dance floor. Dance with the band. Dance, 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 dance. Dance, 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 dance.
Dance like a star. Here you are. Hear the guitar.
Hear the guitar.
Serious stuff there from the Human League. Early days without the girls, it was still just the guys, and they would soon put out their first singles, do some shows, and split to become the Human League on one hand and Heaven 17 on the other. And there will be some Heaven 17 in this show as well later on. So now we're going to move on to a new band, not a new band, but an old band that became a band that you would probably recognize. We're going to do a little quiz. This is a band called Vice Versa, who, along with Artery, came out of an arts collective called Meat Whistle that was actually sponsored by the local government council. Space was provided. Time was available to do basically anything you wanted of an artistic nature. Back in the 70s, arts labs were very common in Europe, and for some reason they never caught on in America. And I think it would be nice to see publicly funded arts and creative space provided to young people nowadays, because I think we're in even more desperate times than we were in the 70s. So here's a band called Vice Versa. They went on to become, they split, of course, as many bands do, but some members remained and new ones were incorporated. In fact, a singer who was originally considered for the Human League became their new singer after they changed their name from Vice Versa. I'm going to let you hang on that for a while and see if you can predict what is the name of the band that they later became. I will play one track by that band right afterwards, and then I will talk a little bit more. So, who guessed it? What's the name of that band? Yes, it's ABC. And when they talk about judging a book by its cover, that's something I definitely did back then with ABC. I think I may have heard a Vice Versa track again on one of those cassette samplers. And I was really into that minimal drum machine, early synth music. And then I had no idea there was any relation to the slick orchestrated production of ABC. And believe it or not, the singer for ABC was considered to be a candidate for a singer for the early Human League before they found Phil Oakey. This just shows the interrelated nature of the Sheffield scene. Back then, everyone kind of supported each other, like they say in the song. And once the bands like Cabaret Voltaire and ABC later on became more popular, then that's when the infighting began. And that was kind of common in Minneapolis, where I was part of the early punk scene and post-punk scene as an artist, not really a musician. But there was a lot of jealousy. Once a band got popular and started recording and touring, all the other bands that were still struggling just kind of looked at them and went, you know, where did they come from? How did they get so popular? But you don't realize that many of these musicians have been in 5, 10 different bands all along trying to be more creative and grow as artists. And, you know, sometimes it takes the form of Cabaret Voltaire. Other times it takes the really slick form of someone like the Buggles or ABC. And I definitely judged ABC as a, you know, who are they? Where did they come from? Why are they so popular? But believe me, they all paid their dues, and many of them are still successful today. Actually, Artery, the first band that I played, have reformed and are now touring again in Europe, and hopefully they will finally achieve some of the success that they were denied back in the early days when they were still very experimental and more locally known band. So, now, the next band is going to be a band that I've discovered through the Made in Sheffield DVD, which is a fantastic DVD documentary of the early Sheffield days. There are interviews with Phil Oakey and members of 2.3, who were also publishing a fanzine at the time, and members of ABC and vice versa. So if you're interested in more information and can't find the Beats Working for a Living book, go out and find the Made in Sheffield documentary, and you will be absolutely amazed by the diversity of bands. Even there are interviews with members of Pulp, who I am going to have to pursue more of myself. This is a band called I'm So Hollow. We'll be right back. more of that beautiful, ragged, minimal synth guitar, heavy, distorted bass sound that really sums up the best of the Sheffield experimental side. They weren't concerned with being the most technical bands in the world. They took the ideas of punk and the stripped-down, anyone-can-do-it attitude and really made it their own. Bands from Sheffield don't sound like any other band from England or anywhere else in the world, but they have inspired so many bands, and even contemporary minimal wave bands really owe bands like I'm So Hollow a great lot of gratitude. That was a song called Touch, and definitely go out and search for I'm So Hollow. They're considered post-punk, but you could really call them early goth or dark wave, and Mick Mercer actually has promoted them quite heavily on his website and has many pictures and actually interviews with members of the band in his magazine called The Mick, which you can download from his site, www.mickmercer.com. He is the real godfather of goth, and he's written many books on dark wave and international goth. So if you're interested in more information, check out Mick's website. Continuing in that vein of the dark side, this is a band called In the Nursery, which I first heard again on a pleasantly surprised 4AD compilation cassette. And this is a band that is still going strong. They're becoming even more orchestral in their musical process. It's two brothers, the Humberstons, I believe it's pronounced, and a female vocalist and sometimes a male vocalist. They are now doing live shows that are soundtracks to silent films. And there are, I think, four or five that have been done so far, and all have been released on CD. And I would like to see some of these DVDs of the films with the In the Nursery soundtracks. I think it would be a really fantastic package to be releasing worldwide. They played in San Francisco recently, and unfortunately I was not able to go. One of the very few times they have ever played in the United States. So I'm hoping that sometime in the near future I may get to see them either in Europe or someplace closer to home. So this is a song called The Empty Fortress by In the Nursery. Thank you. beautiful track there from In the Nursery, one of my favorite bands of all time. Definitely an inspiration to my electronic music. They're still going strong, and definitely seek them out. This next band is from the compilation that comes with the book Beats Working for a Living, Sheffield Popular Music 1973 to 1984, which I mentioned earlier in the show. It has quite a few tracks. Lost Gems and Rarities, this says, for the CD. My copy of the book did not come with the CD, but I was able to find it to download online. And this is a band called The Past 7 Days. And I think it kind of follows along this sort of dark theme that we're pursuing right now. So let's continue on with this. It's called Rain Dance. great example there of that reverb heavy chimey guitar that would become so popular with the Daruti Column and Gang of Four, and that moody, just resonant bass that would be very popular in bands like Bauhaus. Next, I'm going to be playing another band that can be considered very moody. They didn't become as popular as they should have. I think maybe because they were a little too honest. And that's something you can say about all the Sheffield bands. They did not shy away from reality. They were not afraid to talk about unpleasantness and the darker side of life. I would say because they come from a working class background and a very industrial town, they knew the harsh realities of life, and they weren't about to sugarcoat it. And back in the 80s, that's what I was interested in as well, is things that were brutally honest and were not, you know, as acceptable to perhaps the mass audience, but more artistically honest and truthful. So this is one of my all-time favorite bands. They're guitar-oriented, but there are some good keyboard flourishes in here. The band is called Comsat Angels.
Thank you.
honest and scary stuff there from the ComSat Angels. They became popular in Europe. They played a lot of shows on the continent and actually toured with a band that sounded kind of similar to them called The Sound, which never really caught on in America, but they do sound very similar. So if you like the sound of ComSat Angels, search out The Sound, particularly the album called From the Lion's Mouth. I would highly recommend that. This was a song called The Eye of the Lens. It was their big hit, if you can call it that. I don't know exactly how high it got in the charts, but it's definitely considered their one well-known song. And it talks about kind of a theme that really is relevant today in England, observation, some surveillance issues, what's positive, what's negative about being in the public eye, being watched by your friends, and also who knows who is watching you. Really, really amazing stuff there. Okay, this last band really should have probably been played first. They're reminiscent of the pub rock that was popular in England in the mid to late 70s, but they have a punk edge, and I'm including them because they are post-punk in a way, too. They really cover a lot of different ground. They were the band called The Extras, and they were probably, it says in the book, the band that started the whole scene in Sheffield. But I kind of put them at the end because I wanted to show the diversity of the Sheffield sound and not be too focused on the chronological order of the scene. The Extras, as you'll see in the Made in Sheffield DVD, became really big, and they said, okay, now is our time to move to London, and let's be international stars, and let's take this as far as we can go. Well, unfortunately, that was exactly the time when the London press was going to Sheffield to find out what the buzz was all about in Sheffield. And as they say, the scribes were coming one way, and the Extras were going the other way, and their career basically didn't take off in London. And when they came back to Sheffield a few years later, they came back more as failures than as great successes. But their music is really fantastic, and I believe they only released one album. So here they are, the ones who started it all, and this will be the last track for this show, The Extras, and the song is called Playback.
There's lots of keys we live in. A tech machine must have been somewhere, because the sound you're making. Playback, playback. Playback, playback. And everything you say, words for words.
Is this your life on tape?
Real to
with all the same mistakes.
Time and time again.
The sound of deep regrets.
Time and time again. Playback. 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 Playback.
Thank you. but someone flicked the switch, clicked. You set the reels in motion, and churning round and round. Inside and out my mind, nothing will say so talk all time. To entertain in real life stories, time and time and time. Again, play back, play back, play back.
Multi-electric.